Hello, and welcome to the official first episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Backlog. I am Adam, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Kieran.
Hello.
Hi. All right, introductions out of the way. Let's talk about what the actual podcast is about this time.
Yeah, so as the name would suggest, we are going over our backlog. Because we've both got a whole lot of games, and a lot of them we haven't played. So we've kind of decided to use this podcast as a good way to go through some of those games that we might otherwise just keep on delaying inevitably forever.
Because baby got backlog.
Baby got backlog. It did take us a long time to decide the name. We're pretty happy with this one, though. I quite like it.
It's disappointing because the ones that we actually wanted were already taken, so...
I know.
I think we got a gem, so I'm pretty happy about this.
It's a bit of a mouthful, and it takes a long time to type out, man, the email addresses and stuff, but, you know, it's worth it.
Well, I've never had anyone complain about a mouthful, so we'll be fine. So, every week, what we're going to do is select a game from our backlog. We're going to play it for the week. I'm thinking for games that are a bit longer than a standard shortish game that we would maybe take it in turns every 2 weeks. We haven't figured that part out yet. But what we know is we're going to play a game for a week. Then we're going to record the podcast and discuss our impressions of it. Maybe like a semi-review, depending on if we finished it or not. And then we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and whether or not we recommend you add it to your backlog or you take it off your backlog. How does that sound?
That sounds like a mighty fine idea to me.
Sweet.
So, as I'm assuming the name of this podcast will suggest, what is the first game we've decided to go over from our backlog?
The first game I selected, which was Hatterful Boyfriend.
I am so happy you selected this. It was just a joke.
I immediately regretted selecting this after I started playing it because I was so bored, but we can get into that. It's not all bad. But yeah, when I selected this game, I was like, sweet, this will be a short one. This will be good. I'm moving house. I don't need to spend too much time rushing to play something before the next recording. So let's go with Hatterful Boyfriend. We played on PS Vita. It's also available on Steam and PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and it's got a cross-save feature on the Vita and 4, so you can go between the two if you so wanted to.
It does too, and I'm pretty sure that we picked this one up from the PlayStation Plus free membership games. So it's likely you might have this as well if you are a member of PlayStation Plus. So a little bit of background about the game. It is a dating sim. I believe the genre is otome dating sim, which is typically one of the games where the main character is a female and she's trying to pick one of, you know, a bunch of dudes, basically. It was created by a manga artist named, their alias is Hato Moa. I've heard people pronounce it as Mao, but... according to the wiki, her last name was selected because of a New Zealand bird called a moa. So, it is Moa. And it was created as an April Fool's joke to parody the dating sims. And also, I'm pretty sure it's her first game, and she basically did this almost entirely by herself, which you can kind of tell.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea how much work goes into these games, but for the scale of it, it was... I wouldn't have put it just down to one person. So that's quite impressive.
There are issues, which thinking of it, I'm like, okay, well, now I understand why the game has that issue because it was done by one person. Oh, essentially one person. Apparently there was maybe two other people that helped a little bit here and there, but essentially all the programming and all the art and all that sort of stuff, pretty sure she did it herself. And it was just for an April Fool's joke. So, like, there's a lot of effort to put in for a joke.
Yeah, it's definitely got... There's something slightly not quite serious about it. It has to be said.
Please explain the concept of had a full boyfriend.
I'll try my best. So when you load up and click on the shiny new game button, you can you can name your character, but I assume you kept it like the same one that was already there, the Hiyoko Tosaka.
Yeah, you have to go through it like 15 times. So
I know, it's crazy.
I gave up on changing the name.
Yeah, so you play a character called Hiyoko Tosaka.
It's pronounced Tosaka.
Toe sucker?
Yeah.
Hiyoko
like sucking
sucks
on toes.
Toes. She sucks those pigeon feet.
That's it. Please continue.
what he said. You play as her, and she is the only human in a score of birds. Saint Pigeon something. What's the name?
Is it Saint Pigeon Nations or something?
Saint Pigeon Nation? It's something along those lines, yeah.
You would think that we would remember this considering we played so much.
We had to play it so many times, and most of it was in the last day or two. But yeah, it obviously didn't linger in my mind. And the idea is you just play through a few days or months at this school, and you talk to the lovely pigeons and partridges and quails and whatever else there is, and you kind of romance them gradually over the year. And by the end of the game, you might have successfully wooed over a man, but that is not that's only like a small part of the game, because
yes,
well, yeah. If can you try and explain the rest?
All right, it's a little deceptive the way the game is paced and structured. So basically, there are a handful of different birds that you can romance / date. Although not all of the story routes are actually romantic. A lot of them are just sort of like... It kind of seemed more like episodic anime to me. However...
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of different birds. They all have their own stories. You do each route and then their story kind of plays out. And then towards the end of the school year... you get a conclusion. And then once you have completed all of the conclusions for all of the available characters, it kind of kicks into a secondary story, which is kind of like the true story. Do you think we should talk about spoilers for this one?
I don't think we can avoid them.
Okay.
I think to make it more interesting, we're going to have to cover the whole thing.
Right, okay. So, spoiler warning, we'll be talking about the BBL story route, it's called, which stands for, oh, it was like Big Bad Love or something, or Bad Bird Love, I don't know.
Is it really? I had no idea what that was.
It stood for like
trying to put it together and I just couldn't come up with anything.
I'm pretty sure it's Bad Bird Love, but I don't know.
Okay.
Basically, you go through all these really like episodic stories that are super repetitive because you have to sit through the same sort of stuff over and over again. Yeah. And then eventually you get to a story which is dark and full on and actually really interesting and gripping. If it wasn't for like the first 15 routes that you have to sit through and it was just the second half of the game, I would recommend this game in a heartbeat. But man, it was so much effort to get to that point.
Yeah, and what I feel is that because you have to go through all these endings to even get to what feels like the most substantial part of the game, is that you're going to get so many people just drop off and don't even realize that there is this kind of huge, interesting story at the end, which is absolutely worth reading through.
Yep. Sorry, I was reading my notes.
Oh, God.
While I was playing, I actually ended up like taking down notes for every single route I was playing as I was playing it.
All right.
So I knew that there was like a big secondary story coming, but I didn't know what it was about. Most of my notes are like, oh, this is where it starts getting interesting. And then the next route, I'm like, this is boring again.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, now it's starting to get interesting. No, now I'm bored.
I mean, I assume you used a guide to get
the routes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's another thing. I think without a guide, this game would be tedious as hell. And there's just like more or less no way that I would ever play it if I wasn't following the guide, I don't think. I would probably have given up after just like one or two endings.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone getting much enjoyment out of this game without a guide. Like, you have the option to save at any point before any decision you make. But who's really going to sit there and then, you know, save the game, pick one option, you know, see how that pans out, then restart your previous save if it didn't work out and then go again. Like, just follow a guide, because there's only like, I don't know, a couple of dozen different choices you can make. But they all sort of lead down the same, how do I want to explain this? Yeah, so like you're making all the same choices, but you're just picking like one different alternative to go with the bird that you're trying to woo.
Yeah, I mean, if you are doing it without a guide, the general principle is that you want to spend as much time with the person you want to get the ending for. Mm-hmm. So when there's an opportunity to invite someone out to a festival, you want to choose them. And there are other things where you have to buy them beans for Legumin's Tide.
Oh, God.
Whatever that is.
I hate that.
As far as I could tell, there was no real clarity as to which bean you give to which bird. I don't know. Maybe there was something in the story that I missed, or we're just supposed to know.
No, I don't think so, because there was no indication that any bird liked a particular bean. So I think it was more so like you save your game, you pick a bean, and then you give it to the bird automatically and then see what their reaction is. And if it's the wrong one, then you just restart the save and then pick a different bean. But if you're using a guide, you just pick the right bean from the beginning.
There you go. And the good thing is, like, you can get through all these endings, and then once you get to the BBL ending and epilogue, you don't actually have to like follow a guide at all. You can just play through and enjoy the story.
Yes, which is nice. Loved that. I loved it, because I was sick of looking at my phone every time a dialogue option popped up. I could just relax and then play through the story and actually soak it in, rather than like making sure I picked the right choice or I read the right information on my phone.
Yeah, I agree. So, like, did you actually enjoy the game? Would you recommend this to people?
It's so hard because I really, really liked the BBL ending and that whole story route. It reminded me of, did you ever play that game on DS 999 or any of the Nonary games?
I haven't played 999, but I have played Virtue's Last Escape.
Yes. So it gave me 999 vibes in the last half of the game, which I really liked, because then it was like dark and there was an actual mystery set up. You weren't just sort of being this girl and going around talking to a bunch of birds. You actually had a key mystery set up from the beginning, and then you could, you know, follow the story and see it unravel. And that's what kept me on the edge of my seat, and I really enjoyed that. But I just found like the actual quote-unquote dating aspects to be incredibly boring.
Yeah, it was very odd. I feel like all the endings that you have to go through, they're kind of there just so you have the background, you know everyone, you know where everyone is and what they do. Mm-hmm. And then all that information that you've got means that you can appreciate the actual ending a lot more. Did you feel that as well?
I think that's what they were going for, but I kind of feel like I needed more. Like, I wanted more meat and potatoes in each of those endings. Like, I wanted to know the characters better. And I think what really let it down for me was because it was so repetitive that by the time I had worked through like three or four other birds and then the fifth bird was coming up, I was just like, all right, let's skip as many of these scenes as I can, get to the part where it's actual unique dialogue, which is kind of few and far between. And then I was like, sweet, all right, I'm done. Next one. Like, I was ticking it off.
The goddamn worst thing was every time you went you went on a run, don't you? And then you end up at this, you know, you've ran for like 4 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you come across a sparrow mm-hmm. on a moped. And there's no decisions to be made there. And this thing is in pretty much every story.
Yeah.
And you just have to skip through it. It's so annoying. It's just, it has no like relation to any of the stories and except for like two. And it's just so stupid.
That was the point where I'm like, okay, there's a whole chunk of dialogue here that I've got to skip through. So I would turn the volume up on my TV and turn the volume on the Vita down. Like, all right, it's that sparrow again.
It's the tea break time.
I did like her storyline, but just having her there when no choices were required to be made, and it's in every single route. Like, it doesn't matter if you're chasing her or not. She's always there, and you're just like, fucking so sick of it.
Yeah, that is exactly how I felt as well. So, did you have a character that you particularly liked? Any of the senpais that really got your attention?
Romantically or story-wise? Because I wouldn't want to bang any
of them. I'll say both, because they are, admittedly, they are all birds.
Okay, well, my my biggest disappointment is probably because there wasn't actually any real romance. Like, I get that it's, you know, like a parody and a joke, but take it that one step further. Like, I want to have bird babies with this pigeon. Like, I want to actually, like, get married. I want to see the bird wedding.
Well, to be fair, at least, was it Yuya Sakazaki?
Oh, yes.
He was very romantic.
He was very flirtatious.
That's the word for him.
But, like,
he was very upfront.
I wanted more. I wanted to, you know, read about Hiyoko and Yuya making out,
you wanted,
or something.
Like, you know? 50 Shades of Grey pigeons version.
Yeah, damn it, I can't think of a pun. 50 Shades of Cloaca, I don't know. I wanted more. So yeah, I would have, if I was going to romance someone though as a bird from a non-bestiality, purely platonic perspective,
of course,
I would probably pick, no, there's no one.
It's a big question. There's no one.
I couldn't pick any of
them. I think that's another thing. All the characters are kind of accentuated in their caricatured in their personality.
Yeah.
Right. So for instance, Sakuya, the aristocrat, the fancy white dove.
Hated him.
I quite liked him because he was just so over the top and out there with his personality. It was quite funny.
I liked Nageki, who is the shy one.
Yeah.
Who I wouldn't romance if it was like an actual dating sim and it wasn't a bird, it was an actual character. Wouldn't romance them, but his story was actually
one of the few. First good one.
Yes, it was
that I played.
The first one where I went, okay, there's actually some what's that word?
Depth.
That's it. There's some depth to this game. I was like, all right, sweet, I'm paying attention now. This is getting better. What I liked, even though I hated Sakuya, was that in the BBL ending, he actually had like something to do and a vital role in the story, and actually all of the characters, except for the ones like the sparrow and the ones that you meet in the cafe, who are like way off to the side and irrelevant.
Yeah.
Basically,
they're like extras. They play cameo and are only in
like
a few short scenes in some of the stories.
Yeah, and they have, even though like the sparrow has her own route, or route, however you want to say it. Give her a route. that one actually didn't even end in romance, unfortunately. Anyway, they have their own... Well, no, yeah, I was like, I actually thought that they were going to go with like a lesbian bird scenario, and I was really disappointed they didn't. So all of the school-related characters that you've seen one-on-one in all the separate routes all come together and actually connect in the BBL ending. Like, there are connections that come out of the blue and, like, story twists left, right, and center. Like, the quail isn't even a quail. He had a face change or a body transplant or something. And he was actually... What was he? Was it? No, it wasn't a dove. It was something else.
Was he a partridge?
That's... Maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. He was in an orphanage or something, and he was a completely different bird who has a relation to another one of the characters, but had like a body slash face transplant. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Feather transplant.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of twists in the end, and it was to a degree where it was kind of getting like a little bit too ridiculous. But what, like,
I liked that.
I guess one thing that I did like was that it was just so unpredictable with its twists and turns. And I know you brought up the nonary games, 999 and stuff. I found Virtue's Last Reward incredibly tedious, and I actually hated it. And that was because everything was so easy and predictable, but you couldn't kind of continue with it until you'd gone through all the conversation and the game had kind of told you the answer. In this, although there's no puzzle solving really, it's not so predictable. So if they, if they did like a escape room style game with this sort of story writing going on, I could get behind that. That'd be quite interesting, I feel.
Yeah, I just wish that they started with that instead of having to sit through everything else.
Yeah, agreed. So another aspect of this game is definitely more on the silly side, is the kind of Pokemon battle you kind of come across in a few stories. They are just ridiculous, but they are quite hilarious, especially the ending with, is it Angel? He's a bleeding heart dove, I think. And he speaks in... language like
anime.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's kind of like he's living in a fantasy world and there's demons in the underworld and angels and stuff. And what was particularly funny was when you come across him, your character also speaks in the same sort of manner that he does, which is entirely new. She didn't do that for any other stories, but suddenly she kind of remembers who she is.
Yeah, that I also found that really confusing, because I'm like, is this actually like the truth, or is this just like the writer has gone on this completely different tangent, which also wasn't a bad thing, but at the same time, like, hang on, is this an actual twist that's canon, or is this just like a joke route? Oh, which reminds me, did you find the whole concept of the birds initially funny? Because for me, the joke itself never landed, not once.
I guess
that's a good pun.
Yeah, that
didn't fly with me.
No, it did. Didn't take off.
Nah.
I guess initially, yeah, it was kind of like, this is a slightly funny. And then I was kind of, yeah, after you play for a bit, you're like, okay, we're talking to pigeons. Then after 15 playthroughs, you kind of just forget. And yeah, it's just another detail that's a little bit weird, but it is a part of the game.
I think when, so each time you start the game, it does the, does the introduction of who all these characters are. And the first time I played, after that introduction, I was over it. Like, I got the joke, done and dusted. I smirked a little bit, but I didn't find anything else funny. Then it was just like, okay, let's see what this story is about. And it didn't really hold up for me in the beginning until we got to the BBL ending.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, and that this, joke, this really, whatever it was, went straight over my head.
It really didn't feel like a comedy game in anything other than the fact that occasionally the birds would say every birdie and these just kind of shitty bird puns.
There were a couple of semi-funny lines, but I've seen reviews and watched YouTube videos of people who have reviewed this game, and then they just say that, oh, this game is hilarious. You know, you get to date a bunch of birds. It's so funny. I'm like, I really don't find this funny. Yeah. Not at all.
No, I agree. It's definitely not laugh out loud funny. It's just slightly odd.
So if you're going into it thinking that it's going to be a funny game, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of other good qualities, but not comedy, that's for sure.
No, comedy it's lacking, sadly.
Oh, also, I ran into another issue while I was playing. Don't know if this happened to you or if it was just me, but occasionally the music would get really fucked up.
Yep.
Did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that happened like almost every time I would lock the Vita and then reopen the game. So, the next scene, the music would just start squeaking at you.
Yeah, it happened quite a lot. And every time that happened, I was just like, fuck, I better save just in case. I had the game crash once. But this was like two scenes after I'd saved, so it didn't matter too much. But yeah, I think this is a Vita-specific issue. So if you plan to play it on the Vita, just make sure you kind of save quite often and be prepared for freaky audio glitches, which can come out of nowhere in the and be a bit weird and freaky in some of the scenes, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was intentional because at the point where it happened, it was kind of a darkish scene. And I was like, oh, that's creepy. That's an interesting track. And then it kicked back into what it was actually supposed to sound like. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Speaking of the music, there was... I did find it quite hilarious how some of the characters who have their own kind of specific music that plays whenever they're in the scene. Like... I think it's the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy that comes up whenever the doctor is talking to you.
I noticed that today as well.
Yeah, and there's definitely... I feel like there's a Tchaikovsky piece in there, which I definitely recognised. But it's a bizarre mix of musics going on there. They kind of just... There's no real smoothness or connectivity that really blends them together. They're very just...
Yeah, and there's a... like a rock sort of biker sound for the sparrow.
That's right, yeah. And there's also the battle music whenever you do the Pokemon style battles.
Yeah, I enjoyed the inclusion of like the battles because it sort of broke up the monotony of just reading for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not really like, do you have much exposure to these dating sim / visual novel games? Because I only maybe done 999, and I think like when I was a teenager I downloaded Princess Maker, which is like this dating sim where you like I don't know if like you're the princess or you're the princess's dad, but like you train her to do shit and then try and find her husband. That was fun.
Yeah, I guess. Amazing.
But other than that, like I don't really do too many of these games. No. So
I've not really done much either. I've tried out a few just from kind of recommendations. Generally they're games that I would have picked up from PS Plus, like this one. So I think a few years ago there was Steins Gate was given out free for the PlayStation 3 on PS Plus, and I tried that, and I don't know, because people said it was a really good story and there's some time travel and stuff, but I just can't stand how much waffle you have to get through to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's so slow and tedious, and I don't know, they're just not for me. I really can't get into them. So surprisingly, I'd actually say that this is probably definitely up there of one of the best visual novels that I've played in my time.
Yeah, I actually find that this was, even though it was really repetitive in the beginning, going through all those different routes, I find that it was digestible enough that you could easily get through one route in probably half an hour to an hour. Like once you've seen it once and you know all the scenes that repeat and you can skip through those and you're just paying attention to the individual dialogue on that route, you know, half an hour and then you're done. And there's very little like waffling on or extra storytelling or inner monologues. Like I find a lot of those games sometimes just waffle on so much about what your character is thinking and you just like, fucking get on with the story.
Yeah.
Tell me the messed up shit. Yeah, so I think that in a way, if you don't have a lot of experience with visual novels or dating sims or anything like that, Had a Full Boyfriend is probably a good place to start.
I agree.
If you can, if you, you know, go in with the warning that it's going to be pretty repetitive in the beginning. So, you know, maybe just take your time and do one rat at a time and have a break. Because I think our problem was that we did it so quickly and in such a short amount of time that we got fatigued.
Absolutely. Really quickly. Yeah. I don't think I'll be making a habit of going back to visual novel games. They are good in a way that it's a nice way to tell a story, but for me, these sort of games need just more gameplay. Like if you had a Persona game, for instance, Persona 4, kind of the communication between friends is, you know, slightly visual novelish, but
yeah.
When you have the actual gameplay, the dungeons, the walking around the town and the school, if they had like that in with these games, so it's not just strictly reading, then yeah, that's fine. Just being basically a book it's not going to sell it to me.
Yeah, I actually have a problem with a couple of those Persona games as well. Not the mainline ones, but the spin-offs. Okay. So Persona, I think it's 4 Arena.
Okay,
is it Persona 4 Arena or Persona Arena?
It's Persona 4 Arena.
Yeah. So the arena games, like the fighting games, and I tried out the Dancing All Night games. They have like very heavy visual novel scenes that go on and on and on before you get to fight anyone. And then, so it's like long ass text section. Thankfully, the voice acted, but still, like you're sitting there getting like bombarded by all this information and dialogue. Then you have like one short fight and then like 3 or 4 more long ass sections of story that doesn't really tell you much, and then you have another fight, and it's just kind of like all this information just kind of regurgitated over and over again. Like they tell you one thing, then you fight, and then you just go over what that person had told you before, and then you like learn something new, and then the next scene you go over that, and then the previous thing, and then learn something new. It's just too much.
Yep. Yeah, that really does not sound fun, and I'm quite glad not ventured into those games yet.
I am a pretty big Persona fan. Mm-hmm. Not so much with 5, but the previous ones I love. But even I could not get through like the amount of story just to get to those fights and or like dance battles. I'm like, all right, I give up. Like, I love these characters, but I'm not going to sit through this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, put that as a positive for Had a Full Boyfriend, that it's digestible enough that I didn't completely hate it.
Yes. Yeah, that's my sentiments exactly right there.
Yeah, didn't completely hate it, didn't love it, but I kind of did though.
But it's definitely on the better end of the spectrum for visual novels.
Yeah, I think this would be exactly what I would call like a mixed review. Like I feel really torn about it, because there's sections of it that I absolutely hate and there's sections that I absolutely love.
Yep.
So I'm going to say that Had a Full Boyfriend is the visual novel / dating sim version of Last of Us 2.
Okay. That's
just going to put that out there.
Solid statement.
Yeah.
So
same quality, same everything, very divisive, good parts and bad parts.
Yeah. I don't know how to add to that.
Yeah, I don't know either. So would you recommend that people add this to their backlog, or would you recommend that if it's on your backlog, not to play it?
I would probably say no, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're traveling or something, if you're on a train and you've got 20 minutes and you've got no other option, this isn't the worst thing you could be playing. Just going through one sort of storyline.
Mm-hmm. Or read a book.
So again, or read a book. Yeah, read a book, man. That's generally how I'll review visual novels. Just read a book.
Yeah, or a manga or something.
Oh yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into those lately. I'll give those a go.
I've never really tried them, but that's just because I don't want to fill up my house with a load of manga books.
Oh, no, you don't actually buy the books. That's a rookie move. You just go to the websites.
Was that old-fashioned? Okay.
Yeah. You go to the websites where they have free reading translated pages thingies.
Okay, right, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, there is actually a DLC to How to Fool Boyfriend called Holiday Star. Reckon you'll be purchasing that one then?
Well, look, I already didn't pay for the game, so I'm probably not going to pay for the DLC.
Yeah, I quite agree.
And you know what? We've actually managed to avoid the massive spoilers, so I'd say that we've done a pretty good job.
It's true. There's some of them I kind of want to talk about, though. Like,
all right. Well, let's bring them up. So
we could say from here on we might encroach upon spoiler territory.
Yeah.
Even more so than before.
This will be our heavy spoiler section. So, lead the way.
So, I guess we could actually talk about why we are talking to pigeons.
Yes.
Why they have become kind of sentient in that way, like intelligent, I mean. And that was... I kind of liked how they did this, based on the H4N1 kind of bird influenza pandemic.
Yeah.
And then because humans wanted to stop the spread of that virus amongst humans, the humans then created... did they create a different virus to kill off the birds?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. They created something to kill the birds, but instead of killing the birds, it just made them smarter.
It kind of boosted their intelligence and made their brain grow. I think that's what it said in the game.
Yeah.
And so they've all developed this, just intelligence where they can communicate like humans, and you can become scientists and doctors and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there is a St. Pigeon Nation score.
I love that, like, you go through this game, you don't really have, like, a sense of time or setting or era, and then they drop the bomb, well, not bomb, but then they drop the date, and it's, like, 2187 or something like that,
yeah.
So we're 100 and, I'm looking at maths, 100 and something years in the future. 170?
160. So, yeah, and we find out that, most humans were wiped out, and there's like rival factions in amongst the pigeons. There's the hawks and the doves. So The hawks are a group of, I guess you could call them terrorists of some kind, because they want to wipe out all the humans, whereas The doves want to live in harmony with the humans.
Hippie doves.
And both of these systems kind of have hidden roles in the score, which you find out as you play through the game.
Yep. I think my favorite part, though, about the way the story unfolds, at least, is since you've gone through all these different routes playing as Hiyoko, you start up the last route. You start from the very beginning. It lets you know that this is going to be slightly different, and to take your time reading it, so don't skip through any dialogue. And then at one point, quite early on in the game, while you're playing as Hiyoko, you go to, I think it's the infirmary or something, and then the next day, control switches or perspective switches from her to your childhood friend, Ryota, who is one of the first ones that you would have romanced. And now you're playing as him because she's gone missing.
Yeah, I found that quite surprising. I really wasn't expecting that, because it was a huge shift from every other thing ending you've been playing through.
Yeah.
So you kind of think, like, okay, is this gonna happen? Did what happened to my character really? From that ending, which, because you've been playing through these short playthroughs, you think, this will just be another 20-minute thing. It goes on, and I had to play it over like two or three almost times just to try and get through it.
Yeah, same.
And it was really good. A completely different story, really, and pieces everything together quite well. And you definitely learn about some backstories to most of the characters. And it's really well done. I actually kind of thought the writing was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I was impressed as well, because like I thought like all the other sections seemed so shallow, and then all of a sudden you're getting this like really heavy stuff, like your character, your former character Hyoko, like her body parts show up in cardboard boxes in every classroom, and then so you know she's been murdered, and like the whole initial mystery is who killed her, why was she killed, and then the next thing you know, like this massive I think is it concrete or some sort of dome is placed over the school so everybody inside of it can't escape, and now you need to solve like why is there this dome over the school holding everybody, like keeping everybody in, and then it gets like really complex, so I don't know if we can even go into any more detail than that.
I don't know if we like actually mentally and physically can. It's just like, can I even remember the order of things? But amongst others, and in maybe no order, at some point a mechanical scarecrow appears in the underground facility of the school. You discover there's a hatch at the top of this dome. You somehow open this. At some point, one of the other students tries to escape and get instantly shot.
Mm-hmm.
and you find out that there's like humans outside that have come to. It is humans outside that have come to kill all the birds, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's some sort of agreement that the birds have with the humans, and that is to have one human representative in, I don't know if it's every school or just this one school, and if that human were to die, then that school would be separated, enclosed, and then it would give the humans 12 hours to, I don't know, get together and then basically do whatever they want to the birds on the inside, presumably kill them. And then there's another bird who has this virus in them who is able to kill all humans that get in contact. Well, not contact, but even like close proximity to him. So the master plan was that they would kill your character, Hyoko, to lure the humans to the school in order to have this bird kill all the humans with a airborne pathogen that will spread across the world. So kind of like coronavirus.
Yeah, it's quite apt to be talking about this very relatable story.
Yeah, that was totally unexpected, but what are you gonna
That is a common theme in this game. A lot of unexpected things.
So,
but the whole thing about the virus is pretty good. Because you find out about Nageki,
yes.
Who
is a ghost.
We should say he's a ghost.
Yes.
Yeah, your character first encounters him in the library, and at the end of his playthrough, you find out that he died 5 years ago, where he killed himself supposedly in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else can see him except you. But in the BBL playthrough, you discover that he actually was being treated in the underground medical center at the school because he had a compromised immune system but was capable of harboring this deadly virus that could like instantly kill off humans from just close proximity.
Yeah, so
he was patient zero, and the evil doctor there was trying to weaponize him, basically, and constantly trialed humans and ended up killing humans. And so Nageki wasn't too happy with this and ended up killing himself by setting fire to the medical center.
Hmm.
And
That
is kind of that, although the virus, I think his body is kind of put in cold storage or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Who knows how it happens.
I think part of
and
his
then
body
his
is...
his liver.
That's it, yeah, his liver.
Yeah, his liver, which contains part of the virus, is then transferred to another character that you kind of go through in the BBL ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so the virus is then out in the world, and that's just a whole other part of the story of all these twists and turns which happen, which you really don't see coming.
It kind of blew my mind. In the best kind of way.
Yeah, it was definitely unexpected.
I'm still kind of shell-shocked, to be honest, because I've had like a hell of a week. Like, moving is stressful, and then put on top of that this deadly human virus and a nation of birds, and just now I don't know what's real and what's not.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can take from this game, and I hope other games implement, is the completely unexpected storyline. Like, there are so many AAA games out there that have got so much funding, and yet have the most generic story. It's like, I don't know, Far Cry, Dying Light, all of these games, right? And it, you have this, which is made by one person on probably a very small budget, and the story is really good. So it's just a shame, you know, that there isn't more of these cool stories around.
It kind of reminds me, like, I wish it was an anime. I've, like, the Steins Gate anime was fantastic. Like, I would rather watch that than read through the actual visual novel. But they could turn this into a pretty good anime as well. And it reminds me of, did you ever watch When They Cry or Higurashi no something Koro ni?
No, I don't really watch anime.
Okay, well, no clue. Never mind. So basically it's like renowned for being kind of like a cutesy art style, but the characters are like sort of snap and become like incredibly violent and murder each other.
Okay.
And the way they do it is because it's also, I'm pretty sure it's also based off a visual novel. So a visual novel which has different routes similar to this. And so what they do is they have the anime in episodic arcs. So there's like a question arc and then there is an answer arc. And they're kind of shown out of order. So you'll have like a set of one to three episodes where the characters sort of enjoy their time. It's summertime. They do whatever. And then somebody gets murdered by somebody else. And there's always a question that's left unanswered. And then another question arc will roll. And then an answer arc will roll for the previous question arc. And then you have to kind of piece together what the hell is going on. And then through all these different question and answer arcs, you come to find out, spoilers for this anime, you come to find out that time is repeating itself because there is, funnily enough, another virus outbreak, which is making people go insane and kill each other.
But nice. There's like that, this... It's a virus outbreak.
Yeah. And there's like, there's this god of this shrine or whatever who every time things don't go right, resets the timeline. And there's this character who is like this little girl, but she is the one, like the shrine maiden. So she's the one that talks to this god. And then basically every time time resets, she's the only one remembers it. So even though she's 9 years old at the time, she's relived this like 20 times, so she's like 90 years old or something. Anyway,
What the fuck? Okay,
great show, but they should do something similar to that with this.
You know, the whole time travel thing was just and like one character who lives through all that. It's just reminding me of Final Fantasy 13 too, which I've only just recently played through. And that I don't really want to talk about that much, but yeah, time travel is not my favorite thing in stories.
You would probably like this version of time travel because it's not the same as 13-2.
Okay.
13-2 was not a good example.
Yeah, it was bonkers.
I would even recommend that you watch the Steins Gate anime because that is like the peak of time travel storytelling, I would say, at least in Japanese.
Yeah, this is what I've heard. So many people love it and really rate it highly.
Just don't have the patience to maybe do the visual novel.
Yeah, visual novels are not for me.
I agree. They're also not for me.
So, is there anything else you'd like to add about your experience with Hatoful Boyfriend?
I'm glad I experienced it, but I'm even more glad that it's over.
Yeah. I repeat those statements right there. That's how I feel too.
I am happy, though, that there were some redeeming qualities because I immediately regretted recommending this for this week, and I felt really bad that I made you do it.
I love that we've done this for basically our first episode too.
Yeah. But I'm glad
it's
that
like
we
start
both
on a high.
We both managed to finish it, so I would say that that's an accomplishment and we're on the right foot to moving forward to more success and hopefully something that is a bit more palatable.
Yeah. Speaking of,
yes.
Do you have any ideas of what we might be playing for our next week's podcast.
I do, but do you have a choice? Because I was the one that picked the last one.
I haven't actually thought about it.
So okay.
I'll probably have to decide this later.
Look, I have a suggestion, but I don't want to say it in recording because then I might change my mind.
5 minutes later.
Okay, so through some heated debate, we have decided upon our next game.
It was very heated.
It was extremely heated.
We threw punches.
Like through the internet.
Yep, did some fly kicks. I raised my voice a little bit.
Yeah, and I was like, Jean-Claude Van Damme! That's a good kick. And then we decided.
Then I was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I couldn't think of a pun in time.
Ah, well. So.
Sylvester, damn! Stallone. Oh,
Bruce Willis, it getting hot in here. Oh, shit. All right.
Ryan. No. Ryan Gosdamling.
Wait, who?
Ryan Gosdamling.
Mate, you don't put Ryan Gosling in the same league as Sylvester Stallone and
Sparney. Oh, come on. He's in Driver.
That film sucks, but that's another story.
I don't remember that film. He was in Notebook.
I know, that's actually the film I remember him from more, to be honest. And that's a hardcore film right there, up there with Rambo and Rocky and Predator, if you ask me.
Yeah, okay. Point taken. Continue.
Okay. So, yeah, back to next week's game. It's going to be one of the PS Vita's most treasured games. I don't know if that's a fact, but I'm gonna state it right there.
I don't think that's a fact.
Well, I think it's definitely one of the games that is a little bit underrated, dare I say.
We are going to do a game that belongs on PS Vita. It is a PS Vita game. Full stop.
We are going to do a PS Vita game.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Nah, tell them what we're playing.
Okay, so for our next podcast, we are going to be talking about the PS Vita game Soul Sacrifice. It's a very good game. It's like a Monster Hunter style with a pretty dark tone. And we've both played a bit of it, but we've never finished it. So hopefully, and we probably won't finish it by the backlog, but we'll be able to give a good impression of it, hopefully.
And I will give a definitive yes or no as to whether I'll keep it on the backlog. Backlog? Backlog.
The baklava.
The baklava.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this one. Definitely more so than I was to Hatterful Boyfriend.
I'm skeptical, but we shall see if my opinion changes.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I guess we'll leave it there. In the next podcast, we shall... Oh, is there any more?
Well, I was going to say we've got some social media deets now that we should share.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, I'm not so good at this... selling ourselves yet, but we have a Twitter account, and that is the good, the bad, the backlog, currently at bad backlog, and Twitch, you can find us there at good bad backlog, and hopefully we'll be trying to do some streams on there at some point, so keep an eye out.
Have we sent any tweets yet?
We have one tweet, and it was just a link to our previous podcast.
Nice. Maybe we should put some personality on there. Do we know anyone with personality?
Shit. We'll have to try and get someone with personality on the podcast next time, but that's asking a bit much. Personality is hard to come by.
Oh, God, yeah.
We can't afford personality, right?
Not in these trying times. There's a virus on the loose.
Exactly.
It's all doom and gloom. We need some pigeons in here to brighten up our day.
That's what we need.
All right, well, thank you for joining us on the official first episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Backlog. We will see you next... No, you won't see us. We will hear you. No, you will hear us next
you
time.
You will hear us.
You will hear us. Yes. Unless the volume is down too low.